Blog Talk Radio.
Come soon, fire sweet perfume. Your heart's presence feels this way. Come soon. Matthew chapter 17, I'm going to talk about this Friday night. Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says that a man ran up to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples, and your disciples could not cure him. Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, you perverse and faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? He turns back to the Father. He says, bring him to me. And the Bible says Jesus rebuked him, and immediately the boy was cured.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome, everybody, to our lead teachings here this Saturday, June 5th, 2021. We thank God for the new month. Amen. New opportunities. Amen. Just thanking God for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. And it's glad to see, I'm glad to see everybody here in lead teachings, our guests, and church family members of the Gospel Public Ministries, Sister Dillon, Evangelist Kimberly Redford, and everybody else that's on the line today. God bless you. Welcome. Let us pray as we enter into our lead teachings of the will of God, understanding the will of God. Amen. I'm excited about this lesson. Amen. And knowing God's will. Amen. For our life. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord God. We come humbling ourselves before you under your mighty hand. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will lead us in this lesson on today, Lord God, knowing your will. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, helping us to surrender our will over to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But your word said, if anyone lack wisdom, Lord God, to ask, so Lord, we come asking for your divine wisdom this day, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, so that we can apply the knowledge and wisdom that you've given us to our daily lives, so that we live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask that you allow every scripture and lesson on today to take root and manifest in us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our mind stayed on you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace. But we pray for divine direction and instructions for our lives and the life of our family members and loved ones in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is our prayer that all be saved, Lord God, not one be left behind, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for your plan, Lord God, to give us a hope in the future, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you and we love you. We come against every unteachable spirit on the line, every hindering spirit, every spirit of division, every spirit of disbelief, every spirit of fear, worry, anxiety, pride. We come against every spirit operating on the line outside of the Holy Spirit that will cause confusion and division right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare victory right now over us and our family members and loved ones in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. So welcome, everybody. Welcome. We have Evangelist Kim on the line. I will open up our lines, you all, until it's time for comments or questions regarding the lesson on today. For those that are on, if it's your first time and you want to ask a question or give a comment on the lesson today, then press 1. We won't open up your line unless you press 1. Amen. We want everybody to be comfortable. I don't want nobody having to hang up in fear that I'm going to open up the line and they don't want to talk. So we'll leave it at that. So when you want to, during that time, just press 1. But I do want to say congratulations to Evangelist Kimberly Refford and her daughter, Shaquaria Refford, and her husband, Brother Andre Refford Sr., on their new grandbaby that was born yesterday, I believe. And you could correct me, Evangelist Kim. Hold on, I'm going to open up your line. Evangelist Kim, was she born yesterday or day before yesterday? She born on Friday?
She actually was born on the 3rd, but she's not officially 2 days old until 10:09 tonight.
Okay, so she was born on the 3rd, okay, Friday.
Yes.
Amen. Can you pronounce her name for us?
Kazaria.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Kazaria, okay. That's going to be somebody, because when I look at it, I'm like, okay, Kazaria. All right, well, God bless Kazaria. We bless the
God
baby.
Bless you.
Amen. We thank God for it. God, are you at the hospital now or are you at home?
Yes, and I want y'all to pray, because right now she's having blood drawn. To her jaundice levels were medium high. So they were saying if her blood shows any sign, we'll have to stay another day. But we're speaking against it. So y'all stand with me, please, that her levels are lower than what they think.
Amen. We stand in agreement right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we lift up her baby right now, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. We come against yellow jaundice right now, Lord God. We decree and declare your blood that flows through her vein right now. We command it to cease its work and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We decree and declare that she's healthy and strong and fit. Amen. We decree and declare victory over the baby right now and the mother. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord. We decree and declare that every plot, plan, agenda, and trickery of the enemy is scheme has been canceled right now by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. It's already all right. Amen.
It's already all right. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. All right, you all, let us dive into our lesson. Amen. So I'm going to close up the line at this time. Excuse me. We'll open back up the line when we are ready to take any comments or questions regarding the lesson at hand. If you were on with us last week, you all, we were talking about the 4 P's of God's will. We talked about being predetermined, preferred, permissive, and personal. So if you missed that, you can always go back to our archive shows here on Blog Talk Radio, The Preacher and the Pastor, and you can hear from yourself. You can slow it down. You can speed it up according to how you learn, how you receive. Amen. So today we're going to talk about, you all, we're still talking about God's preferred will before we left out yesterday. So we're talking about God's preferred will today. Amen. So as mentioned earlier, the common Greek word for will is dilemma, you all, and it can mean desire, pleasure, or wish. So to speak of God's will, it refers to God's heart desire to see certain things come to pass. So this often described as his preferred will. So this explains why we see verses instructing believers to live in ways that will please God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:9. And Sister Dillard, are you going to help me out today with the scriptures?
Yes. Second Corinthians 5 and 9.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5 and 9.
Okay, mm-hmm. 5 and 9. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, but I'm coming out to King James Version. It says,
okay.
Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So it's, sure. And we also see it in the book of Ephesians, y'all, and also in Colossians. So it's is why we see in other places clear reference to things that the Lord does not want to see happen. So, and why. And so it tells us why. And it's a clear reference that the Lord does not want us to see happening and like see wicked people die in their rebellion or see little ones perish. When we look in the book of Matthew, and I'll give Sister Dilla time to get to it, Matthew 18, verse 14, Sister Dilla, 18 and 14.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Matthew 18 and 14. Amen. Let me know you're ready.
Oh, I'm
18
ready.
And 14, coming out the King James Bible again. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish.
Amen. 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 So we see it there, and also in the book of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and I'll read it.
Amen.
Amen. So for this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Amen. So there are also all things, you all, that God wants his people doing on a daily basis. Sometimes God calls prescriptive will. Amen. Prescriptive will. So this consists of commands for living that Jesus taught his disciples and told them to pass on to others. And we go to the book of Matthew, and let me know if I'm moving too fast. Anyone, I don't want to go too fast, you know, because we can always pick up next week if we go close to our time. Matthew chapter 28, Sister Dilla, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Amen. Hold on. Let me open up your line, Sister Dilla. Okay. Matthew 18.
Amen.
Chapter 28. I'm sorry.
Amen.
28, verse 18 through 20. Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Coming up, King James Bible again. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. And verse 19, I want to repeat that. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we see this is the apostles' teaching to which the first Christians were devoted. When we look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, and I'm going to slow down because I want you all to lay your, you know, place your eyes on it too as well.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Let me close this other line. Acts chapter 2, and I'll read it. I'll give you all the opportunity to get there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Acts chapter 2, so I'll count like 30 seconds, and by that time we all should be there. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Amen. So, you are at the most practical level. It's all that the Bible calls Christians to be and do. We find God's prescriptive will in the Holy Scriptures. Amen. So properly understood, the Bible gives us very clear guidelines on specific boundaries for how to live. Amen. So Let's go ahead and talk more about this. We'll just go ahead and talk more about that right now. In the first book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 4 says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of truth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, the Bible says, and let me repeat that again for you, I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, that's Colossians chapter 1. I'm just repeating in case you're writing it down or you're going to it yourself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, and the previous scripture was 1 Timothy chapter 2 through 4. Amen. Okay. Let me know if I'm going too fast. Slow me down, Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Bible says in 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father. Amen. And giving joyful thanks to the Father. Amen. So that's very important, y'all, that we're living according to the scripture. So don't reject God's will. The Bible also speaks grimly and sadly of those who openly spurn God and rebel against his will. So the Bible says in Psalm 107 and 11, that's Psalm 107 and 11, they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. When we look in the book of Isaiah 30, chapter 1, that's Isaiah 30, chapter 1, said, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. When we look in the book of Luke, we're talking about don't reject God's will, because you have those that reject God's will and go about their own way, doing it according to their will and their way and their plan. The book of Luke chapter 7 verse 30 says, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves. You have people that's in the body of Christ or in the church building that's claiming to be, but not operating according to the will of God. The Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 37, that's Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, the Bible says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. You are not willing. See, perhaps recalling this sobering words of Christ about the Pharisees and the people of Jerusalem, the Apostle John said that the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. We see this in the first book of John, chapter 2, verse 17. So the Apostle Peter spoke of believers not living the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. And we see that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2. So those two scriptures I just that I'm talking about here is 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm gonna, does anyone have any questions about God's preferred will? If so, press one, or any comments. If not, we'll go on to God's permissive will. So if you have any questions regarding God's preferred will, please press one. If you're logged on to Blog Talk Radio, the preacher and the pastor, then you have to call in for any questions or comments that you may have at 845-277-9213. Okay. All right, so let's talk about God's permissive will. So we could define God's permissive will as him sovereignly allowing difficult or even evil things to take place, but then subverting those things in surprising ways to bring about his predetermined will, which is his ultimate eternal purposes. Amen. So think, for example, of the biblical story of Joseph. when we go to the book of Genesis, I'm sure a lot of you all know the story of Joseph, 37 through 50 in the book of Genesis, you all. So God permitted Joseph's, hallelujah, envious older brother to sell him to a caravan of Midianites, you all, traders who were headed to Egypt. So God allowed these money-grubbing traders to sell Joseph as a slave to a high-ranking Egyptian government official. So God watched as the wife of this official falsely accused Joseph, amen, falsely accused Joseph, you all, of attempted rape. If you don't know that story, I suggest you take time to read it so you can have an understanding, like especially when you're going through the Bible and teaching, so you'll kind of understand. You'll find it in the book of Genesis. So God then permitted Joseph to languish in prison for an extended period for a crime he didn't commit. So in time, God ultimately pulled Joseph from the depths of prison and used all the evil choices by others and Joseph's painful circumstances to accomplish his divine plan. See, God had a plan for him, and God has a plan for you. Amen. So the Lord used Joseph to help many thousands of people survive a seven-year famine. So when it was all over, you all, the non-bitter Joseph was reunited with his family and was able to say to his shocked brothers, amen, in Genesis chapter 45, verse 8 and 50 and 20, he says, so then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Amen. So similar to you all, but of much greater significance, God permitted evil men to condemn and crucify his son, Jesus. Amen. Yet in his wisdom and power, God willed the death of the innocent Christ, hallelujah, to accomplish his eternal purpose of securing salvation for guilty sinners. My Lord, my God, my Lord, my God. See, and I ask this question here. Can doing God's will lead to or involve suffering? Because he's like, well, God won't allow that. God won't allow you to do that. God won't allow that to happen to you. No, God wouldn't do that. God would, you know, as we know here, God will allow certain things to happen for what he has planned. We may not understand why we're going through it, and it hurts, and it's painful, and it's like, why would you do this, why that? But God will allow certain things to happen, amen, as we see here. So the short, not so popular answer is yes. You know, in our human way of thinking, like, no, God wouldn't allow that. No, why wouldn't he send somebody to do that to you? Why would? But God will allow certain things to happen for what's to come because God knows what is to come. So he will allow it. Not that God made this happen to you, but he's allowed it. Amen. He didn't order this to happen, but he's allowed it to. So from the beginning to the end, the Bible shows the people of God encountering trials and hardships. As they sought to live according to God's revealed will, neither Jewish believers nor later Gentile Christians, neither Old Testament prophets nor New Testament apostles were exempt from suffering. In fact, Christ himself told his followers, everyone will hate you because of me. We see this in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 17. This morning I was crying out. I was like, Lord, you know, it's been a lot of things. I just really didn't understand. Going to Africa, things that went on in Africa, just a lot there. I was like, Lord, a lot happened before, but I thank God for God's strength. I thank God that each and every day I renew my mind, you know, the things of God and you know, decree and declare that I have the mind of Christ and, you know, surrender my will over to God because our human mind cannot grasp and understand what God is doing at times unless he reveals it to us. And by and by, he will. He just trusts him. So Peter experienced this reality firsthand, you all. Called to be an apostle, he was persecuted simply for carrying out the Lord's will. In the book of Acts, we see this. So later, when writing to first century followers of Jesus who were suffering for their faith, Peter accepted persecution as a given, you all. saying, for it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So even though things are happening to us, we are still supposed to do good. As hard as it is, we still get back to that place of doing good. And even with me going on there, this month I'll be elevated to the African apostle in so many attacks. But quickly I have to get back in that place of doing what God has called me to do. Not my will, but God's will. Say, Lord, I can't do it in my strength, but in your strength, Father God, I can do it. Father God, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So you all understand this, and, you know, this isn't a fun message to hear. However, believers don't have to despair. Jesus is our model and our hope. The Savior who insisted, hallelujah, he came to do the will of him who sent. He, and that's what he says in the Bible. It says, to do the will of him who sent me. Hallelujah. Look at John 6 and 38. And who added, I always do what pleases him. Amen. John 8 and 29, suffering horribly, but only briefly. So after doing the will of God, he was highly exalted by God. Amen. So in God's perfect plan, it's glory, not suffering, that will have the last word. Amen. If you all write this down, and you can go back to it, looking for yourself in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and also in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 33. And Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Amen. Again, that's Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, and also in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 33, and chapter 5, verse 31. Amen. So the book of 2 Corinthians, you all, I want to read this to you, chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Hallelujah. Bible says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and hallelujah and momentary you all troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does anyone have any questions or comments at this time? If so, press 1. Questions or comments, press 1. I hope you all still can hear me pretty good. I have a new headset on, so I hope that this is working good. Amen. I'm adjusting to it. Amen. All right. So let's talk about God's personal will. God's personal will. So God's personal will, you all, refers to God's very specific guidance of or plan for your life, individual's lives. So we see examples on this frequently in the book of Acts. And we look in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. And I'm going to give you all a few scriptures here. Amen. So you may want to write them down if you'd like to go back to them. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 to 39, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord showed up and told Philip to go have a spiritual conversation with a confused Ethiopian official on a desert road. When we look at the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 10 through 19, the Bible says Ananias had a vision in which the Lord told him to go meet the newly converted Saul. When we look at the book of Acts chapter 10, the Bible says Peter was directed by the Spirit in a vision to welcome Cornelius and his fellow Gentiles into God's household. When we look in the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, hallelujah, the leaders of the church in Antioch were told by the Holy Spirit to set apart Saul and Barnabas for a special mission trip. Hallelujah. And then we look in the book of Acts chapter 16. It's all in the book of Acts, you all. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10, Paul and his missionary team were blocked supernaturally from venturing into Asia. But they were summoned, you all, to Europe through the famous vision known as the Macedonian call. So many believers read such biblical stories with wide eyes and say angelic visits or visions, audible voice of God. And I've never had any experiences. Some people have those experiences, like this, and I've had several different. I've had visions. I've had the audible voice speaking, and some of the angelic visits. I haven't had the angelic visits. Some people have, for some reason. I guess it means God, hallelujah, depending on who you are and how God is directing you in your life in a specific way. He will show himself and speak in different ways, even through scriptures that you read, directly through other people. Amen? Hallelujah. So God might be revealing his personal will. So let's suppose that these, let's give a couple of scenarios you all here today, maybe to bring a little more understanding. A friend calls and invites you or let's give a name, Emma, to a small group Bible study, and she is resistant, even reluctant. But in the end, she goes, and it's an awesome experience for several months to undergo spiritual growth like never before. You know, this lady that I've been working with, certain people, the people that God will put in their life for an assignment and a time. So, you know, just never know how God is going to do it and how God is going to operate through other people. That thing that you say, oh, I don't want to do, and then you find yourself doing it, and then you end up being delivered, set free, healed, blessed, and now you're operating in your calling. Amen. From that same thing that you said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go and do that. I ain't got no time for that. I'm just not feeling it. And then you press in and press on, something happens. And you, even sometimes for some people, they'll say, I'm going to fast and pray. Because it's something that they want from God. And it ain't even, they really want their relationship with God. They just want God to do something for them. But while doing the process, God is pouring and things are being opened up to that person. Before they know it, they have this relationship. Now they're walking in their calling. Now they're preaching. Then they're teaching, they're ministering, you know. And so those things that can happen in several of our lives or have happened. It's for me, it's myself. I always knew that I had a calling on my life. I didn't know when God was going to call me. And it was just something I was going through at the time. And I still began to see God working in me in those 40 days of fasting in a time of wilderness. I was in the wilderness, and it was a very, oh, my good, a glorious experience. And I just thank God for that opportunity that God has given me in this life to be able to be a kingdom builder and one of his apostles and living a life according to the word of God. Not saying that things don't happen because it does. Hallelujah. So does anyone have any questions or comments at this time? Okay. So what I'm going to do here, you all, I'm going to just kind of go over a little bit of, again, we have about 13 minutes here, God's will, what it means and what doesn't it mean, what it doesn't mean. So let's talk about that. We talk about the predetermined will. So it means, see, God foreknows and sovereignly decrees all things, and nothing can hinder God's plan for his creation. So nothing catches him by surprise. And what it doesn't mean that God causes humans to commit evil against their will. I want you to understand that. We're talking about God's predetermined will. Now, the preferred will, it means God desires good for our lives, including the way we should live, as summarized, you all understand it, in the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. And what it doesn't mean that humans with the freedom to make choices will always choose what is good, all right? And the permissive will, what it means, you all, God allows evil circumstances and human choices that are not the good that he prescribes, amen? And what it doesn't mean is that God makes people choose evil or that he considers evil a good thing. And then personal wills, we're talking about, you all, what it means is God's specific and creative guidance of individual believers as they go about their lives. See, and it doesn't mean that God gives his people detailed moment-by-moment instructions for every situation in life. It doesn't mean that, the personal will. So I want to say this, y'all. You know, when we think about it, how does God reveal his will? So as we said, God doesn't provide his children a detailed set of blueprints for life. Nobody gets a comprehensive itinerary for the next 20, 40, or 60 years. Instead, God gives believers his word, his spirit, his people, and his mission. Amen? With those resources, we are told to live by faith. Amen? So God's word, as mentioned you all when we started understanding God's will and understanding the will of God, the Bible is not simply a rule book, and it's surely not a divine day planner. You can flip it open and expect to find an expected to-do list for your day with parenthetical, explanatory notes from the Almighty God. Amen. So I want you to understand this. Where you it's not going to tell you that, okay, go ahead, where you're taking fans today. I know it seems like an odd instruction, but trust me, you all. And I want to say this again. You can flip. You can flip it open and expect to find, hallelujah, this to do this if you follow it. Amen. So go eat lunch at the new restaurant, but avoid the hunger. You know, it's just all kind of things, you know, that we can receive so many things from the Word of God, and we have to ask God to give us divine revelation and knowledge and understanding of the Word and what God has to do. And He will show you in Scripture. He will definitely take you to the Scripture, reveal it to you, and God is looking for the one that is willing to receive. Because sometimes, believe it or not, some people, they're reading the Bible and they're looking for error in the Word of God. They're not looking for the Word to change them, you know, to take root. You know, they're not looking for an understanding of the Word, but they're looking for error in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm going to control you all. The Bible is the wild but true story of God and His people. It's part scrapbook. It's verbal snapshots and stories, records and letters of what God is like, how He has acted in history and cared for His people. It's also part guidebook. So it has examples of good and bad actions, sermons and commands, showings and telling modern-day readers the best and worst ways to live, you all. And since the Bible is God's word, it shouldn't surprise us to find out it reveals God's will. Amen. So someone has suggested that about 90% of God's will for our lives is already spelled out in God's word, and the rest is just details. That's about right. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher or a CEO of a Fortune 500 company or unemployed, or if you live in Houston, Texas, or you live in Australia, New Zealand, New Orleans, New England, if you dream is to adopt three children or to open up a bank, whatever it is, to have a child in your old age or whatever, to be married, whatever it is, whatever it may be, and most of all, God's will is already spelled out for us. Whatever it is you wanted to do is already spelled out for us, you know, and this is just a handful of things that you can know without a doubt are God's will for your life today. So if you are a follower of Jesus, amen, as long as you are a follower of Jesus, God has a plan for us, you all, and just trust God for the plan, you know. And even for those that decide, hey, I'm not going to believe, I'm not going to trust, but there's a plan even for the unbeliever, amen. So we just trust God, and I'm going to give you all a few scriptures here as we wrap up, and I'm going to see if anybody has any comments or any questions about the lesson on today. I'd like to hear from you. Amen. So I want to give you all a couple of scriptures in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to read those to you all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and also Amos, also Mark, I'm sorry, 12. Chapter 12, verse 30, says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Also, we see in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 through 35, the Bible says, a new commandment I give, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen. Ephesians, chapter 7, verse 17 through 18, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 18, it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, you all, debauchery, yeah, that's how you say it, debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to wrap up here, chapter 5, verse 18, Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, you all, we're going to pick up here. Well, let me just wrap up here. I want to give you all a few more scriptures, and then we'll wrap up. If anybody have any questions or comments, and then we'll wrap up for today. I just thank God for you all for your patience. And I thank you all for being here for these lessons. Amen. So the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good you shall silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Amen. So these, of course, are only a fraction of the clear-cut commands of Scripture, you all. But as this handful of verses indicate, so much of God's will for our lives has zero to do with our geography, you all, vocation, or marital status. It has to do with the kind of God, hallelujah, glorifying people who want us to become. Amen. So you want a better handle on God's will for your individual life. And I want to believe that. That's the question. You want a better handle on God's will for your individual life, you all. I want to say this to you. Immerse yourself in God's inspired word. Amen. Declare the words of the psalmist. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law, your instructions is within my heart, called in Psalm 40:8, you all. So according to Paul's final letter in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 16 through 17, the Holy Spirit scriptures are profitable for teaching us, showing us what's right, reproving us, showing us where we're off track, correcting us, showing us how to get back on track, and training us in righteousness, showing us how to avoid straying in the future. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to wrap up right here, you all, today. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1. I would love to hear from you. If you don't have a question, maybe a comment. Reference to the lesson on today. Or if you have a question, I'd love to hear your question and see if we can answer that question. Amen. Not guessing, but by scripture. Amen. So if you have any questions, press 1. I hope you all can hear me. Sister Dilla, do you have any questions, Mama?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. All righty. Okay. All right. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Press 1 at this time. I just wanted to make sure my system is working, making sure nobody, you're pressing 1 and I don't see it, so that's why I opened up my mom line, because normally she'll say something, but I guess she didn't have a question today. All right, everyone. God bless everyone that's here in our lesson. Invite someone to our lesson. And if you missed anything, if you came in a little bit late, you can always go back. Like I stated earlier, that they're archived. And I thank God for everyone. God bless you. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you allow all that we learn today according to your will, Father God. Your will for our lives, Father God, that it will take root, oh God. Oh, Lord, that we'll walk according to your will and plan and purpose for our life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that the fruits of your spirit take root, hallelujah, in us, Father God, and manifest through our actions, oh God. Help us to be in that place, Father God, to always love. So, Lord, we ask that you increase us in love, amen, so that we'll be able to forgive, oh God, love like Christ and forgive like Christ all the days of our life, oh God, that we will live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight and according to your will. And we just want to say thank you, Father, that we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you send your angels before us to prepare the way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I ask that you bless all on the line today. Oh, Lord, that you would show them your favor, oh God. Let your face shine upon them and bless them and be gracious unto them, oh God. Hallelujah, in your name, Jesus. We thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. God bless everyone. You all take care. I love you and I thank God for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say,
call me
one time.
You fill me with love, so I'll give it back to you. You give me my husband, you know I love him. And I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy.